I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the pumping on the right shares my beliefs. I think the pumping on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I'm not saying I'm technologically challenged, but it took me a couple of extra minutes to get ready for the show today. I could not figure out what was going on with my mouse. It would not move around until I realized that I had my mouse pad actually upside down. Apparently, these things are not reversible, and the stickier side goes down to the table. If anybody else is struggling with this, if you're having problems moving a mouse around, the stickier side goes down onto the table and the slicker side up. Good to know, isn't it? I never should have gotten a new mouse pad. It really stumped me there for a few minutes. Oh my gosh. All right, well, we got a lot to get to in the show today. I thought I'd start out with something kind of fun, a travel tip. It's spring. I'm up in St. Louis. I've been seeing some of St. Louis. It's got some great areas. I'm in a kind of a, my hotel is in a, it's a kind of industrial office park area. Not very exciting. Not a lot of life around it. Although it's in a nice part of town. They're not like, I found this beautiful park about 2 miles away. And I got to tell you that it's funny. I talked to so many people here. And I think I told you, I bought this mountain bike to get some exercise on my day off every week and get some advice from people on where to go. And I've been telling them some places that, I've been, and they say, oh, really? One of the guys was asking me, I feel like I'm back in Jackson. He was asking me if I was strapped down on my mountain bike headed through parts of St. Louis. And everybody's cautioning me that you're okay there, just don't take a left. Because about two blocks later, you're taking your life in your hands. It's really amazing. It's every city, particularly big metro areas, have got these areas. But you know, they've got nice things about them. But it's like you just can't take a wrong turn. This was always the thing about New Orleans. And even when I was younger, going down there in college, it was one of those things that was widely known. Oh yeah, you can go to Bourbon Street and have a good time. Just don't go two blocks off of Bourbon Street because you probably won't survive. It's really kind of interesting how we are able to balance these two things so close. We're always on the razor's edge of complete chaos, but it is travel time. If you're looking to see the world, I absolutely love this guy's clip. Somebody did an interview with this guy, and he was explaining how he gets bargain basement deals on beautiful vacations at five-star resorts. It's not using credit card points. It's an entirely different strategy.
For fun.
I mean, it sounds kind of macabre, but I like to go to visit a country after a terrorist attack.
Okay.
After a terrorist attack, you know, the horse has already left the barn. It's cheap. I was in Istanbul after they had that bombing at the airport. So I went there.
Jesus Christ.
And there was a bus, supposed to be 50 people. How many people do you think were on the bus?
Two.
One.
You.
So I got the whole tour.
And they're like, why are you
the
here?
The whole bus. And I stayed at a $300 a night hotel for 30 bucks.
Oh, my gosh.
I was in Morocco after they chopped off two girls' heads off, and I was on this trail, on the same trail that they were on.
So wait, when you read the news of a terrorist attack, you're like, time to hit orbits.
You get really good deals, and the security is fantastic. Well, I've gotten flights to Peru, round trip for 280 bucks.
And what happened right before that?
Oh, there was probably an earthquake.
So 9/12/2001, you're on a flight to New York. You're like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess it's kind of it's like disaster capitalism, except it's disaster tourism. So there you go. Your travel tip for the day as we head into this to head into the spring and summer travel season. And the way things are going, the good news is there's probably going to be plenty of places you can go after a terrorist attack with the hornet's nest that's been kicked over once again in the Middle East. We'll talk a little bit about that today. I was going to call this a poem. I'll tell you one thing I don't get. I think last show I admitted that I don't get Shakespeare and I don't get Frank Zappa. You know, things that are very, very cool to be into. They make you seem very intellectual. I just openly admit I don't get it. Frank Zappa, a very, very smart guy, and he's got some good songs, but to sit down and listen to entire Frank Zappa albums, just not my thing. I don't get haikus either. I feel like just some very influential, very bad poet at some time in history, people kept looking at his stuff and going, it doesn't rhyme. There's no flow to it whatsoever. He just came up with it's because it's a haiku. A what? So at first I thought I was kind of writing a poem here. I was thinking about the, I don't know what I was watching that struck me about this, but I've written a little piece about the political system in the United States. And I talked about it some last week about how nothing changes. So tell me if I don't have this nailed to the wall for the political system in this country for the past, I don't know, my frame of reference is really probably 50 or 60 years, just kind of modern times, presidents, that kind of thing. Maybe 70, 80, 90 years that I've studied. Here's the political system. We place hope in someone, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. Place hope in someone new, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. Place hope in someone else, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. Place hope in somebody entirely different, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. So we place hope in someone new, and we elect them, and they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. So we place hope in somebody new, and we elect them, and they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. Should I keep going? I've got about 10 more stanzas of this thing. I started to bore myself when I was doing that, but I thought, you know, the only thing more annoying than just repeating that over and over is the fact that it is the reality of the situation that we are living in right now. It is Groundhog Day politically. And for as annoying as it might be to read that, I can do the rest if you want. Because where did I leave off here? Yeah, right here. Place hope in someone new, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. Place hope in someone else, elect them, they deliver for the uber wealthy, and our lives get worse. I've still got more to go, but I'll spare you. But I don't think it's anything near as annoying as the fact that we actually do this. And what's so funny to me, the refrain, is that part of, that's something in a song, isn't it? Or the climax of it is, at the very end of this poem, is, it's different this time, Mike. I should have injected that after every one of them. Place hope in someone new, because this person's different this time, Mike. Holy cow. You know, I was talking to somebody last night, and they were talking about political parties, and they kept using the term we. It doesn't even matter if I was talking to a Republican or a Democrat, and I had to stop them and say, what are you clinging to? What is this we? And I see this across the board. No knock on anybody. It's kind of a habitual thing. I did it when I was part of the Republican Party, but I find it almost laughable at this time that little people like us, your host certainly included, I'm the littlest of the little people out there, that we actually think that we count in the calculation of what takes place, particularly when it comes to Washington, D.C. There's been a lot of talk in the past couple of years about inflation, and people are finally starting to catch a little bit of a clue. I mean, I'm seeing Twitters and TikToks from like millennial kids that are starting to get it, the government spending and the debt and how it's affecting their future and how it's impacting inflation. What is the response of these two parties These two parties that so many people in this country consider that we, right? Oh, we just need to win the House. We need to take the Senate. We need to get the presidency because everybody's on this team. So with everybody outraged about the cost of living, outraged about this new statistic we have, which is $1 trillion in new debt, not just spending. It's not that long ago that we didn't spend $1 trillion in 100 days. We didn't spend more than a couple of $1 trillion an entire year. And now we are borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. People were kind of catching on to that. What's Congress's reaction to that?
Tonight, with the Speaker's job on the line, the House passing a massive $95 billion foreign aid package with long-sought assistance for Israel and Ukraine. Huh. Inside the package of four bills, $60 billion in aid for Ukraine.
Cha-ching.
$26 billion to Israel.
Cha-ching.
And $8 for Taiwan. Oh. Legislation to force a sale of TikTok from its Chinese parent company also included. A major gamble by Speaker Mike Johnson, who's held up the aid for months and needed Democrats to get the legislation over the finish line, angering Republican hardliners.
Mike Johnson is a lame duck.
He's done.
You do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may.
Do you believe you will still be the Speaker come November?
Yes,
absolutely, without question.
Yes.
Two other Republicans now joining Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's movement to boot Johnson from his speakership.
So there you go. You got three Republicans up there actually standing on some principles when it comes to the spending. But finally, we, I'm using the theoretical here, you understand, I'm an observer, not a part of either one of these two nut jobs destroying this country. We finally took the House and we kicked out Kevin McCarthy and we got a new speaker. And this time it's different, Mike. And look where we got us. $61 billion to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion to try to kickstart something in Taiwan. And I've got some quotes here. I don't know how many of these things I really need to get into, but I just find it very funny because, again, what is everybody clinging to? I mean, when do the Republicans or Democrats, when exactly do these grand plans of electing a different, I mean, how, the Tea Party? Anyone? Anyone? Hello? Is this thing on? The Tea Party is on a milk carton somewhere trying to be identified. Didn't we elect a whole bunch of Tea Party people? Spending increased after electing the Tea Party Republicans. And that's where we are. So Mike Johnson has passed this big monster bill. Money we don't have. And you know the thing to think about, too, just in a point of reference, I think it's worth mentioning. The military already gets $900 billion. You would kind of think that if the national security of the United States, if it was so vital that we make sure that we send $61 billion to Ukraine and $26 billion to Israel on top of everything else we send to Israel and $8 billion to Taiwan, why doesn't the military take it out of their $900 billion per year budget? No, this is over and above that $900 billion a year they get, and it's well over $1 trillion. When you figure in all of the intelligence agencies and every other three-letter agency that's attached to, air quotes here in the studio, national security. And is it all interesting to people that it seems like, just as an observer, listening to people talk, particularly on the right wing, I'm much more around people on the right, people are more concerned about a terrorist attack in the United States right now, spending $900 billion a year, than they were when we were spending $600 billion a year. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Wouldn't you think that the more you spend, the less you would be worried about an attack on the homeland? And I'm sure that Donald Trump was furious about this reckless spending and this turncoat. Mike Johnson, who has sided with the Democrats, oh wait, no, he's fine with it. Quote, "We're getting along very well with the Speaker." This is from Donald Trump quoted here. "And I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a speaker who was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job." He's doing about as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect for the speaker. Quote, this is Donald Trump. Quote, I stand with the speaker, saying it is, quote, unfortunate that people bring it up because right now we have much bigger problems. Holy cow. So this time it's different. Certainly, and this has been interesting to listen to conservative pundits talking about how, well, maybe this is, are we back to 4D chess now? Donald Trump backed Kevin McCarthy as he went through and just destroyed any hope that real conservatives have of changing the government. And when Kevin McCarthy got ousted by the people who actually care about spending and these kinds of things, then Donald Trump endorsed Mike Johnson, and then he went and had a meeting with him. Have you heard about the meeting that Donald Trump had with Mike Johnson? Well, you'll hear about it after this break. Stick around. I need a remedy. I guess at this point I should issue some kind of a trigger alert because I am being negative towards the Republican Party and Donald Trump. Do I need to say the words, Joe Biden's the worst thing to ever? I had a conversation with a Democrat the other day. I hope she's not listening. I really love her. She's just a fantastic person. I ask her all the time, why are you a Democrat? By the time we get done with the conversation, she doesn't like the Democrats either, but it's one of those kind of snapback things. If you don't talk to somebody for a while, they go right back to what they were before. I realize the futility of this show and conversations when you're fighting, you know, real kind of cult-like behavior and brainwashing from years and years. I was like that too. I was in the cult at one point. And I was asking her, she actually is saying something about Donald Trump being corrupt or something. And I said, and Joe Biden. I said, they're all corrupt. Barack Obama was corrupt. George W. Bush was corrupt. Bill Clinton was corrupt. H.W. Bush was corrupt. I mean, I went through them all or something like that. But I said, do you seriously believe that Joe Biden is a good president? And this is what she said. Get this. I did refrain from laughing because I thought that would be disrespectful and maybe sour the conversation a tad bit for somebody that I like. She said, well, he has done some good things like he's trying to bring back the super collider. I thought, wow, they are going deep into the bench trying to find anything to praise Joe Biden for. Is he trying to bring back the super collider? And if he is, then I'm anti-super collider. I mean, I barely know what the super collider is. I remember at one point, I think they were talking about that from Mississippi, weren't they? You know, one of these big projects, you know, how the state of Mississippi leaves a bunch of taxes in place and they have horrible schools and failing infrastructure. But like every 10 years, they try to wrangle in one single huge employer rather than getting rid of taxes and regulations and all the hurdles that are in front of the thousands and thousands of thousands of mom and pop shops and entrepreneurs in the state. They don't give them much of anything. They tax them to death and regulate them to death, but they really throw out the welcome wagon about every 10 years for one huge employer, and that pays off about, what, one out of every three times? Nissan! When did we get Nissan? Back in the 90s? Holy cow. But anyway, she had to go into, he's trying to restart the super collider. That's one of the good things Joe Biden's doing. He's really quite pathetic. But I'm being negative on the Republicans and Donald Trump, but I'm doing it in a kind of a cheerful attitude, kind of a, you know, lighthearted way. Does that take any of the sting out of it? So according to the Wall Street Journal, oh, you can't trust them, Mike, unless they say something we agree with, and then it's gospel. Anyway, I'm just relaying what's been said. According to the Wall Street Journal, Trump's stance was key in assuring the passage of this recent bill. Just before the bill passed, this is this big spending bill, this hundred and something billion dollars of giveaway of stuff to other countries to control their borders and help them fight their wars that they started. Just before the bill was passed, Trump dined with Polish President Duda in New York City at Trump's invitation. Duda, this is the Polish president, one of the people really, one of the big warmongers over there. He's trying to get nukes on his border. That should calm things down with Russia, right? For the geographically challenged out there, Poland is on the border with Russia. Duda was in the U.S. on a lobbying tour to press for Ukraine funding. The next day, Trump wrote his Truth Social post declaring Ukraine a vital, quote, U.S. national security interest. Now, one of the things that Trump is doing is that he is saying he's trying to differentiate himself from the rest of the warmongers and people that want to strip Americans of their wealth and send it into foreign lands through the great money laundering machine that is Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. Trump is trying to differentiate himself by saying, well, we're going to make it a loan. You're going to make it a loan to Ukraine, not just give them the money. You're going to make it a loan. Does that make it okay? Now, what's interesting is that that loan is tied to the fact that, quote, payback is contingent on them defeating Russia. There may not be a worse credit risk on the planet right now. And you and I all know people with some pretty skanky credit, right? Never pay back anything. Basing a loan to Ukraine, basing the payback on whether or not they beat Russia, that's a giveaway. Okay, that is just giving somebody money and pretending it's a loan, because everybody knows Ukraine is not going to beat Russia if Ukraine even exists at the end of this. I actually have got a bunch of stuff about Ukraine that I won't have time to get into today, but as I say, this is the new Republican Party, the MAGA Republican Party, led by Donald Trump, who has put his faith behind Mike Johnson, who passed this monstrous bill with the Democrats. Trump said it is vital to U.S. national security that we spend this $100 billion, but he's going to make it a loan. As long as Ukraine wins, we should get our money back any moment now, right? Holy cow. It's interesting to hear the mental gymnastics that people go through in trying to say, oh, yeah, but he's still so different from the rest of them. Really? I'll be right back. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. No, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Some of the most dangerous words for all of us personally, professionally, financially, emotionally. It's different this time. I know she cheated on me 6 times, but we had a good long talk. It's going to be different this time. There's a lot of investors that have lost basically everything. I remember when tech stocks were shooting up to the moon at the end of the 1990s. And people were looking at the valuations of these stocks and just saying, these companies have no earnings, they've got no profits. Yeah, but it's the internet. It's different this time. Did you live through the dot-com bust? I remember when housing was going crazy in 2005, 2006, 2007, and people said, oh my gosh, housing keeps going up like 30% a year. This can't keep up. And people said, no, with all the population growth and everything else, it's different this time. It's never different. It's always the same. And our political system is just that. Are clinging to this idea that this guy is going to be the one that saves us. It's different this time, I'm telling you. I mean, at some point it becomes different, okay? I will admit that, but I'm not seeing it as of yet. You know, I had a little time to pause and reflect during that last break, and I thought, maybe I'm being a little hard on them. Maybe it's okay to send another, and I want to make sure I really stress the term, another $100 billion overseas. because it certainly isn't the only foreign aid we're giving out. It's not the only foreign aid packages that they'll pass this year. They do them every single year, all year long, every year, year after year, Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. This foreign aid money just leeches out of the country. But I started thinking to myself, well, maybe they know what they're doing. I mean, maybe we don't actually need that money here in the United States.
Breaking this afternoon, Honolulu police reporting a brief 911 outage in the city, coming after more outages Wednesday night on the mainland.
You may have difficulty reaching us internally. We're having difficulty receiving 911 calls as well.
6 p.m. Central Time, multiple 911 centers suddenly cut off in parts of four states, South Dakota, Nebraska, Nevada, and Texas. Several call centers pushed out emergency alerts telling locals to use their cell phones or text for help.
Yeah, we don't have anything going on in this country that we need to really work on. Some of you might not have heard me say that again because you were going across some of the massive potholes in Jackson. I'm kind of going circular on these shows because I realize I make these references. I think it was last week I said the old quote is "There's nothing new under the sun." And even with all the craziness going on right now, you know, I'll read these quotes by people from hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, you know, Greek philosophers that realized that the people running Greek society back in the 200s were just horrible, corrupt thieves and idiots. And here we go, 2,000 years later, and we're running by horrible, corrupt thieves and idiots. But I ran across this clip. And this is a show, I've pointed this out so many times. I grew up in the 1980s, and I remember, excuse me, I don't know if it was the first time people were outraged about this, but I remember the outrage, even, you know, in my home. I think I remember my parents just going, "Oh my gosh, that's just crazy." Now, this was Cold War, facing off with the evil Soviet Union. We've got to do everything we can to bolster national defenses. And the report came out, and I think the first things that were named back in the 1980s was a $400 hammer and a $1,000 toilet seat for some plane. It was something along those lines. Nothing special about any of them. The hammer didn't hammer itself. It was a hammer like you get at a hardware store. At the time, you could probably pick one up for about $1.99. And the military was paying $400 for it. And a toilet seat, which at the time in the 1980s probably cost about $12, the military was spending $1,000 on. That was the 1980s. Fast forward 40 years in the United States until today.
This, Mr. Secretary, is a bag of bushings. This bag of bushings, stamped out by machinists, don't need a high school diploma. It's not anything high tech about this. All of this bag is compliant with the FAA specifications. How much do you think the Air Force pays for this bag of bushings?
I don't know, Congressman.
$90,000. This is a $90,000 bag of bushings that you need for any jet turbine engine, just to operate. So the exorbitant cost due to DOD only buying commercial parts from the OEMs, which is essentially sole source, is literally driving us out of business. I mean, the interest on our debt alone is now exceeding, for the first time in American history, the entire defense budget. We can't afford it anymore.
We never could afford it. So this is 40 years. What is this? That's almost two generations of people. I got to say, boomers, you got, at least for my knowing, I'm sure maybe there were stories about this in the 1960s with Vietnam. Who knows what they were paying for things during Vietnam. But it was when the military-industrial complex in Vietnam was a part of the takeover of our society by, you know, that Eisenhower warned us about in 1960. Where these military contractors just really went, "Oh my gosh, we have got the American people so scared scared about the Cold War, scared about communism in Vietnam. We got them scared about Iran because they took over the embassy. We got them scared about this. We got them scared because of Lockerbie. We've got them so scared, they will pay us anything as long as we say it's going for military uses. So for 40 years, I would imagine that $400 hammer from the 1980s is what? What would it be today? $3,600 hammer? It never stopped. It never stopped. How many Congress critters have served on the Armed Services Committees or the Appropriations Committees, rubber stamping all of these fat contracts? And understand, this money goes to somebody. It's not a complex hammer that creates this cost. It's not the essential need of that type of hammer. It's a hammer that the defense contractors say, oh my gosh, we can mark this up to whatever we want. We've been doing it since the 1980s. Hey, Frank, give me that bag of bushings over there. What did it cost when you got those things? That metal shop that does these things for us. Yeah. What? About $7.16? Watch this. I'm going to mark it up to $90,000. And they'd all just laughed and laughed. Oh, yeah, right. You're going to charge $90,000 for a bag of bushings that just cost a few bucks and a couple of minutes on a, you know, on a machine to put out. A bunch of high school graduates sitting around just collecting them in buckets and dumping them in bins. You're going to sell that for $90,000. Watch me. 40 years this has been going on. People never put their foot down. Not one time. And again, how many Congress critters, how many Mississippi in 40 years since the first time I heard about the $400 hammer, how many different Congress critters have gone up there? The Trent Lotts, the Thad Cochrans, the Roger Wickers, the Michael Guests, I'm not good at naming backwards the Mississippi folk. But there have been a lot of them there, a lot of them from every state. I mean, generations of political classes. And during that 40 years, who's been in charge in Washington, D.C.? Either the Republicans or the Democrats, right? Basically, probably about 50-50 of when they control what body of the government. And we've gone from a $400 hammer to a $90,000 bag of bushings. That's where they've got us. Nothing's changing. Nothing new is under the sun. And ain't anybody coming to save us from stuff like this, apparently. At least not for the last 40 years, and I'm not seeing any signs of anybody new coming around. Be right back. All right, final segment for the day. This show has flown by for me just as I record this show. I don't know what it's felt like to you, but I'm looking at the clock. I feel like I'm talking kind of fast today and maybe recently. One of the reasons is I've got a ton of energy. No pharmaceutical intervention whatsoever, just good old-fashioned energy that we're all supposed to have. But number two, I've got this clock on my screen here, you know, so I can time my show correctly. And it's just like grains through the hourglass. I just watch it go and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got so much to cover. One of the reasons they've gotten away with all this huge military spending up to and including this past week where they gave this other $100 billion is fear. It was interesting to me. There was a recent ISIS attack. I don't know if you've ever heard. If you heard about this, it was recent and I can't remember. I should have looked it up, but it almost doesn't matter. It was an ISIS attack somewhere. I can't remember if it was in Syria or Iraq. I think it was one of those two. It was an ISIS attack on one of those two. It got me kind of interested in something. While we're seeing this pitched battle going on in Israel right now in Gaza, really, really, really horrific stuff. I know a lot of people disagree with that. I hear it all the time. I don't quite get it. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. You've got a Jewish nation in Israel that is attacking Muslims in Gaza. How is it that ISIS never attacks Israel? Anyone find that kind of weird? Now, I know there's, you know, ISIS is Sunni. Iran is Shia. So they, you know, there's some differences there. But, I mean, just over the entire period of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, is it interesting to anybody else that they never attack what is theoretically, we're told, you know, this common enemy in the Middle East, these Jewish people who are just parked in the middle of a bunch of Muslims, all wanting to see the death of Israel. But it's just strange to me. Does it not seem like a weird coinkydink that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, all of these terror groups that the U.S. is always telling us we should be so afraid of, that they never actually attack Israel? I don't know. I just find it kind of interesting. Could it be have anything to do with the fact that we have funded Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Al-Nusra and all of these? I mean, you know, John McCain went over there and put his arm around the leader of ISIS in Syria. It's just kind of interesting. It's almost as if, do I need to keep going or can you connect those dots by yourself? And the even funnier thing is, I hear a lot of people out there right now concerned with ISIS sleeper cells here in the United States. Now, I've been hearing about ISIS cells across the border in Mexico for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years now. Oh, yeah, they're training over there. They're coming over here. I mean, it's just kind of interesting, isn't it, that ISIS, who we have funded, admittedly, we have funded ISIS, they would come all the way back over here and actually attack us, that has funded them in their war in Syria in particular, and they would attack us. But in their own neighborhood, for some reason, they don't get around to attacking Israel. Huh. That's just weird. I just find it kind of odd. I'm not encouraging that. I don't want to see that. I want to see everybody get along and everything fine, but that's just, it's just something I've noticed. I'll just put it that way. Is it just me? Well, it doesn't have to be ISIS or Al-Qaeda. We have fears everywhere, and the Christopher Wray, who hired Christopher Wray to put him at the top of the FBI? This guy is no, oh, that's right. Never mind.
Our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. But now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia Concert Hall just a couple weeks ago.
So there you go. Christopher A's winding us up for the fact that... I'm just going to spitball here, okay? Yeah, who am I? Never done any foreign policy service to our country. I've never even been a public servant. You know what a public servant is, right? It's the people that tirelessly serve the American people at great sacrifice to themselves, like congressmen and senators and mayors and governors and all of these politicians. You know they're public servants, right? They do this just out of a duty of service to you. Shouldn't we all be so thankful? But I've never had that kind of experience, never been in the military or anything, but if people are drawing inspiration on what's going on in the Middle East and they might attack the United States, maybe we should, just spitballing it here, maybe we should just stay out of it. I'm just saying, maybe, could it possibly be that the reason that people might come half a world away to attack us is because we are funding and supporting what's going on in the Middle East? Is it possible? I'm again spitballing. Is it possible that the passage of $26 billion going to a government half a world away so that they can continue to murder Muslims in their country is not a great look for the United States if we're looking to not be attacked by radical jihadists? I mean, just a possibility. Again, it's a thought experiment. Let's just put it that way. It kind of seems like it because it seems to me that maybe we shouldn't mess with every other country on the planet. And this is like a free thought of consciousness. Maybe if we left other people alone, they would leave us alone and we wouldn't have to listen to people like FBI Chief Christopher Wray or the Defense Secretary or the President or Congress critters always come out and tell us that we're really keeping an eye on. We've got a spy on the American people through FISA, another great accomplishment of Mike Rogers or Mike Johnson. Mike Rogers, an equally horrific warmonger. I get them confused. They're all basically the same person. But we just passed the FISA bill so we can spy on Americans to protect Americans because of what our government does all the way around the world. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And it's costing us a lot of money. Again, I've got no experience in this. I'm sure somebody much smarter and experienced, maybe one of these noble public servants, could explain to me why we have to spend $1 trillion that we don't have, robbing from future generations, to mess with other sovereign countries all around the globe, which actually creates danger for us at home. Maybe they can explain to me why that's wise policy. Because I am a dumb country bumpkin, I guess, and I don't quite see it. I've had a lot of neighbors in my life. And almost with all of them, I got along really well. You know what I did? I left them alone. You know, I wasn't going into the... I didn't knock on their door and say, hey, you need to cut your grass. People have had these kinds of neighbors, haven't you? Or you've had an HOA like this? I mean, don't you generally get along with your neighbors unless they're doing things to you actively? If you just see them out at the mailbox or see them walking their dog down the street and you both give each other, hey, how are you doing? Then completely different people from different generations and different colors and different ethnicities will get along absolutely fine. The trouble between neighbors, even, or any community, is when you start messing with each other, right? Don't we all know this from like the time we're four? And you're sitting there, when you continue to grab the ball from that other kid, he gets upset. If you just play with your own ball while he plays with his ball, everybody smiles and everybody gets along. There's no controversy. We learn this at age four, but we're convinced somehow that these foreign policy geniuses have figured out a new formula with, we can mess with everybody and we'll just spend a ton of money to make sure they can't mess back with us, even though they keep doing it. It's interesting, isn't it? Again, it's just a Mississippi Rube's casual musings on the U.S. foreign policy for the last 50 years. $90,000 bushings and constant danger. Doesn't seem like a success to me. That's all the time I got for today, but I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Here comes the boom, ready or not. Here comes the boys for the sound. Here comes the boom, ready or not. How you like me now? I say we rep the sound. So what you talking about? No, you, and when it's time, we'll handle business. And we know what to do. Me and my crew.